Cat Mayo Hour.
Welcome to the Pat Mayo Hour, week 10 rankings debate for every position. But not only is it going to be a rankings debate show for week 10, it's trade deadline time. So we're going to talk about the best buys and the best sells at each position for your upcoming trade deadline. You can rook some people, and we'll go over to the teams with the best matchups at each position too. Maybe talk about some theoretical deals you could possibly make in order to situate yourself well for the end of the fantasy football season. Chris Meaney joining me like he does every week. What's happening, man?
I probably can't trade Kristen Michael anymore, can I?
If he has a good week, he can. For anything, basically.
Yeah, I got a lot of him. I was able to flip him in one league before the Saints game, but yeah, it doesn't look good. They just don't want to run the ball, and they can't.
And now Rawls is eventually going to be back. We'll get into them in a second. But since we're doing all of this,
yes,
we need to include Jake Seeley. There was no Monday show. I was stuck in an airport. I recorded like a very poor quality sounding podcast. I didn't have a mic. I didn't have a camera. I was just talking into my computer. And there was this guy just giving me the stink eye the entire
like,
time.
What is this guy doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Jake, what's happening, man?
Not too much. I actually listened to it. It wasn't half bad, but I could just picture the other people in the airport just looking at you being that guy who's talking over his speakerphone.
Well, everyone had been stuck in the airport for, I was just talking straight into my computer, weirdly enough. I was recording it from like QuickTime because I didn't have Audacity on that computer. And just people are like, what's going on here? It's been like 8 hours. Everyone's stuck there. Everyone's like half drunk, but now tired.
Yeah.
Because it's like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, they must have thought you were a boss, man.
Your star should have pulled random people over and asked them for help for their teams.
Yeah, you should have done that. You should have pulled them over.
Yeah, but what you have to realize, I was in the Montreal airport, so people would be like, yeah. Oh, je ne sais pas, qu'est-ce que de football, you know?
Yeah, I only like David Desharnais.
David Desharnais, le bétain et de CFL, la Ligue canadienne et football.
Montreal Impact against Toronto this week. That's probably what they would have talked about.
Well, that's not what we're going to be talking about. Let's talk running backs. Let's talk rankings at the top this week. We'll get into the trade deadline stuff after. Or maybe try to bring it up within so everyone has to watch everything. It's probably better to situate it at the end so I can clip it out. Anyway, David Johnson, number one against San Francisco. I don't think that's going to be a big shocker to people.
No.
Then Elliott, Le'Veon Bell, DeMarco, Melvin Gordon, Ajayi. Spencer Ware is expected to play. At least that's what Andy Reid said today. He is at number seven. Devonta Freeman, even with Tevin Coleman back. I have it number eight. Lamar Miller against the Jags. And Jordan Howard at number 10. Jake, we'll go to you first. Is there anyone inside the top 10 you think that should be outside and vice versa?
No, I actually like your top 10 a lot. It's weird because I usually expect to find at least one person, but I think your top 10 makes a lot of sense, as you mentioned with Devonta Freeman, even with Tevin Coleman being back, mostly because your rankings are PPR. I expect his value to continue to be the same, even with Coleman getting a share. I think it's more back to the fact that Tevin Coleman could have flex value. It doesn't really do much to Freeman. Maybe he has an off week there, but this week looks good for him. And I would expect Tevin Coleman to be brought back a little bit slowly just to make sure they don't have to risk him with Freeman. And I love your ranking of Jordan Howard. You know I'm a big fan of his, so I really like your top 10.
Yay! Did you feel like the Atlanta running backs might be in some trouble against your Eagles, or is that defense starting to whittle away?
Yeah, it's starting to whittle away a little bit. But the only thing is the defense has been good because they haven't been giving up a lot of rushing touchdowns. I mean, that's why the numbers are not as high as what you normally would see with Philadelphia. But yeah, your top 10 is fine as well. I have no problems. Freeman's probably going to have a big game, even if Coleman plays. I expect him not to be fully 100% if he plays in this football game. Spencer Ware is the only guy I have a little bit of a question mark with, but in PPR format, he's a top 10 guy. He's back. Jacksonville's not horrible against the run, but
Carolina.
Excuse me, not horrible against the run.
They're good against.
Really good against the run. But he can catch balls, and expect him to be back to fully 100%.
Yeah, if he's active, you play him.
Yeah.
I guess for the injury report, I'll go over it. The guys that I have that are injured that are in the rankings, I have Spencer Ware with his concussion. James Starks, I have projected to be back. That's neither here nor there. If he doesn't play, don't play him kind of thing. And even if he does play, you might not want to play him anyway. I do like him as a pickup. Carlos Hyde I have in. Matt Jones I have in. Deion Lewis I have in. And Tevin Coleman I have in. Guys I have out of the rankings, Doug Martin, Jaquizz Rogers. That's why you're going to see Peyton Barber pop up here. And Derrick Henry I do not have in the rankings either. I don't think he's going to play.
No. And Martin, he's expected to miss a couple weeks at least, I think.
Still?
Yeah. Henry.
Oh, but, Henry, yeah.
We could see Martin practice this week. And I wouldn't be shocked if he does play in this football game this weekend.
No, and me neither. But as as it stands right now, I'm going to take the caution with Doug Martin since he's been pushed back 80 million times. He was hurt in week two.
I know.
Week two.
Yeah. He tried to come back too soon.
He didn't even try to come back.
Well, he had a setback. I mean, I guess it was at practice.
I guess so. So for me, Jake, and Meany, you can always find all of our updated rankings as they change throughout the week. It's a fluid thing at rotoexpertsandsportsgrid.com. Meany's are up on Fantasy Pros, right?
Yep.
Are yours up on RotoExpert too?
Yeah, here and there when I don't get lazy and I write something, but you guys are all over that, so check for them on Fantasy Pros.
11 to 20, I have Matt Forte, Jonathan Stewart, Darren Sproles, because this is PPR, Devontae Booker, Todd Gurley, Terrence West, Gio Bernard, LeGarrette Blount, Chris Thompson, and Chris, you have ranked Mark Ingram at number 20.
I know, that's probably just, some respect, I guess. I mean, I still think Hightower is going to get more touches than him. I mean, even in that football game 2 weeks ago, Hightower earned more carries, earned more play because Mark Ingram fumbled. Mark Ingram looks good, decent in the game, and Hightower still out-touches him. So this is not fantastic against Denver, but, I mean, Latavius Murray was okay against them. I mean, they moved the ball. He was able to score three touchdowns. I do think he should be the goal line guy, but I have no faith in Sean Payton allowing him to be the goal line guy because we saw Hightower, I mean, stopped five times the goal line a couple weeks ago. So, I mean, he just seems to like Hightower more.
Jake, what do you take this situation? Do you think you can run on Denver, and do you think it's Ingram or Hightower?
I would prefer Hightower of the two, just for the fact of the matchup. I think he's going to be running between the tackles more, and that's what we really want in this situation. Ingram, although they've been using Hightower in the passing game too, Ingram kind of, as we saw in that last game, is doing better in the space. It's only a slight edge, though. Honestly, if you made the argument for Ingram, I think he could go either way. I don't want either one of them inside my top 15 running backs, as you don't have either one of them there. And Chris doesn't either, obviously, because he's the one who ranked Ingram. It's the fact that Latavius Murray did well last week doesn't make me change my opinion that Denver's still a strong defense. They're not as good against the run as we've seen for the entire year, but it's not a situation where I'm fond of starting either. You have to probably start either one if you own them. It is the Saints at home, so there's the appeal there. But I think this could be a Drew Brees passing game where it's 370 yards and four touchdowns, and the running game is just quiet.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree. A lot of people are kind of south on Brees this week because of Denver. Neither I have him at six, I think, in my quarterback, or do I have my quarterback rankings? Let's see here. We'll eventually get to it. Spoiler, six.
Yeah.
Like, you're playing Drew Brees at home. That's what you do.
Yeah, I mean,
he's averaging 350 yards and three touchdowns at home this season.
I actually have him higher than six. I'm not really. I know it's Denver, but I'm not extremely worried about him. His two worst games were on the road, and that's the thing about him on the road, right? He went into Kansas City. He was okay. Not a lot of people were in on him against Kansas City.
Yeah,
and Chiefs.
He had a good game.
He had like 26 fantasy points. Yeah,
he had a good game last week in San Francisco too. Although everyone does.
Sure, everybody does. Yeah, I'm fine. He's, as Jake said, he's throwing the ball a ton, and the yards are there. He's got great weapons and. We're not even talking about Snead as like a great third down guy for him. Thomas is awesome, and Cooks gets it done as well. So, yeah, I have no problem with Brees this week.
Yeah, another spoiler alert for me in these rankings. I have Cooks above Thomas for a home game, but we'll eventually get into that because this is the range of running back, the 11 to 30 type of range. Because the top 10, as we kind of talked about, there's only so many guys getting all the carries in good matchups, and those are kind of the 10 guys.
Yeah, and they've been those 10 guys basically all year, except for Ajayi now, you know, three straight games of just awesomeness from him.
Yeah, so Devontae Booker is at number 14, and the kind of reports came out that Capri Biebs, is going to cut into his workload. I mean, you catch one pass for like 70 yards, and all of a sudden you're just the best running back in the world. Now, a lot of people took this to mean like he's going to out-carry and out-touch Booker. I don't see that happening. I see it more of a situation like Denver had before, where C.J. Anderson was getting like 60 to 65% of the touches, and Booker was in that 35 to 40 range. That's sort of the split that I see, which means that Booker at number 14 and Biebs at number 27 are both kind of playable, right?
Yeah, it's kind of the same situation last week. You know, you could have played Hightower and Ingram, and you get away with it. I mean, this is a great matchup. I think you're right. I mean, Biebs is...
The Biebs.
He's the Biebs. Yeah, Capri. I mean, here we are. I like what I saw from him in limited, you know, snaps and, you know, touches. He had a nice touchdown.
Okay. Let's talk about that touchdown for a second, Jake. Didn't it seem like Oakland didn't even care at that point? It's like they were running in slow motion and weren't trying to tackle.
That's kind of a similar one to earlier this year with the fondness for Jay Ajayi in the overtime where they're like, screw it. They scored. We lost this game. Oh, well. I think that's kind of looked like what the situation was, and I agree with you. Although, you look at this matchup against the Saints, and you have to like both running backs. And to go back to your point, you know, anything over six, if you get this down to a 40-snap count and 15 to 18 for Biebs, that's going to be a significant improvement over last week. So I'm with you. I don't think this means all of a sudden he's going to be the lead guy. Devontae Booker is still very talented. And I will, you know, take that into account of what you said, is the Raiders didn't make a very concerted effort to go get him on that play. But at the same time, that's still the ability he has. He does have big play ability out of the backfield if he catches one. Similar to Jalen Richard for the Oakland Raiders, he has that ability to take one to the house.
He told Collinsworth he's the best running back in the league.
Did he suffer a concussion during that run?
I don't know, but that's what he said. So his confidence is at an all-time high. But I'm not down on Booker, and I think people will be, even in DFS, in a good matchup. I still think he's the top 12 back this week.
All right, well, we got some contentious backfields to deal with. Baltimore we'll start off with because they're in the Thursday night game. I really like Terrence West.
Yeah.
I know Drew Rick is always on the field. Kenneth Dixon hurt his chest in that game. He's back at practice as of Tuesday, but I think that Terrence West is just going to go ape on Cleveland.
Yeah, and people might be down on him too because I thought he was going to have a good week last week.
So I was
in on Terrence West. I was in on the West boys. I thought maybe the Benjamins won somebody $1 million. Maybe the West boys can win me $1 million. It didn't work out. But yeah, no, I'm in on him. I think this is a great matchup for him. And even Carell on the other side had a good game week two. I know he busted one for like 85 yards, but he had like 140 yards against them in that one game they played Baltimore. But I'm in on West. This is a great matchup.
Jake, I have Dixon at number 39. He played 20 snaps last week. I know West only played 30, and people are talking about this becoming a little bit closer, but West is still the guy for the moment, right?
For the moment, but I don't know how long that moment is. This is two straight games for Terrence West where he hasn't really done much, and there were opportunities. It wasn't like he was facing a tough defense like the Baltimore Ravens, and that's the situation you're looking at for it. That's obviously he's never going to face them, but my point being, that's the best run defense in the league. And the fact is, yes, Cleveland is susceptible to everything, but they're also very susceptible to the pass. I think this could end up being more of a Joe Flacco game where for the second time this year, finally, he gets 300 yards and two touchdowns. Yeah, he's only done it once so far this year, but I think this could be a Joe Flacco game. And in that fashion, I kind of like your ranking of Kenneth Dixon, but it's more so the fact that I would knock Terrence West back a little bit because I really don't think he's going to have the touches to get that on a yardage volume. I think he needs a touchdown.
I mean, that's going to be tough for the Ravens, too, although they have the good matchup. I think it's 1.6 offensive touchdowns per game. It's not very good.
No.
It's not good at all.
And Wes, you know, he had that tough matchup against the Jets, as expected, I guess. Not a lot of teams have been able to do anything against the Jets. David Johnson. I mean, even Le'Veon Bell didn't have a great game against the Jets. He caught, like, 13 balls, but he wasn't able to run. I do think that this is going to be a Flacco game. You know, Wallace is, I mean, they're going to be able to torch Cleveland secondary. But it could also be a second half where West just gets a lot of play.
I mean, that's sort of what I was factoring into that ranking. But let's play, we'll go some rapid fire here. Would you go Terrence West or Gio Bernard and PPR Chris?
I would go Gio.
Jake?
Gio.
West or LeGarrette Blount?
Blount.
Yeah, that one's closer to me, but Blount.
West or Chris Thompson?
I would go West.
West? Jake?
West, barely. I think this is a Chris Thompson game, though. That's the only way that you beat the Vikings with those kind of running backs.
Yeah, that's why. I mean, let's just move on to that. I'm going to put West down at 18 in between Thompson and Blount. And let's get to that Washington backfield. I agree it's a Chris Thompson game. That is how you beat the Vikings. That's why he is up at number 19. I do have Rob Kelly at 25, as Gruden came out and said that he is going to be the lead down back. I don't know what that means exactly, but Matt Jones is practicing. It looks like he's going to play too. I would find it hard to start either one of those two, especially in a bad matchup, but if you had to, it would be Kelly. But if I was going to start one of the three, it would be Chris Thompson. I would expect that he plays the most snaps.
Yeah, in a PPR league, you would play Thompson. I would play Kelly in a standard over Thompson.
I wouldn't, actually. I'd still play Thompson.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Chicago was able to run on Minnesota a little bit in that game. Detroit doesn't have much of a run game, so we can't really talk about that.
Riddick looked okay between the tackles, weirdly enough.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think Minnesota, they're starting to come down to earth a little bit. I know their defense is still good. The offense is not great, but, I mean, Langford wasn't great, but he caught a couple balls in that game a couple weeks ago, so I think you can throw on this team.
Yeah, and that would be the Chris Thompson effect. Jake, Kelly or Jones?
Ooh, Rob Kelly. The biggest factor is even if they had the same yards per carry and same yards after cut, to give them the exact same stats, the big problem is Matt Jones fumbles. Yeah. Rob Kelly doesn't.
I would expect, I mean, lead down back to me means he's going to get, you know, if they try to run on first down, he'll try to get it. But I think what that more means to me is that if there's a goal line carry, Kelly probably gets it over Jones.
Oh, especially after Jones fumbled. He fumbled in the end zone a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, sat on the bench.
So we like Gio over Hill.
Yeah.
Yes.
What do we do with Carlos Hyde? Carlos Hyde's number 22 in the rankings.
I don't know if he plays.
You start him if he plays.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a bad matchup though against Arizona. Arizona's one of the best teams against running backs.
It is, but what better options are you going to have at this point in the season? Especially, there's still four more teams on a bye this week when you have some decent names out there like Riddick and Gore. So I think that if you have Hyde and he's still on your team at this point and you didn't drop him to make some desperate move during the bye weeks, the last 2 weeks, if he starts, you're talking about somebody who's going to get the major volume. I know DeJuan Harris will probably deserves to be sprinkled in a little bit, but Carlos Hyde's been his guy. You got to go back to it, too, is Kelly kind of likes to use one running back for the majority of the time.
Yeah, I have DeJuan Harris, and assuming that Hyde plays, I have DeJuan Harris at number 49. If Hyde was to sit, where would you go with DeJuan Harris? Would you just switch them spots? Would you put him higher, knowing that there's no chance that like Mike Davis or Sean Drawn come in and take away?
Yeah.
I believe Harris played 88% of the snaps for the Niners.
Yeah, and Davis came in his first touch. He fumbled in the red zone. So, yeah, I mean, it's all Harris. But I wouldn't put him as high. I would put him down a little bit because I don't think he's as talented as Hyde.
Really?
I think I would go with 22. Like, I might even play him over Jeremy Hill. What do you think, Jake?
I was just about to say that's where I would put him. I'd put him at 21, right ahead of Jeremy Hill, because your rankings are PPR. And DeJuan Harris has proven, even when he was back with the Packers, is that he can provide value when he's called upon. I guess maybe he can't do it over a full 16-game season, but when he spot fills in for other players, he's done very well.
And that is a good point, too, because, you know, as I mentioned, Davis fumbled. So, I mean, Chip Kelly won't give the ball to Davis, and maybe he'll just give it to Harris if they do get in the red zone against Arizona.
No, they probably won't.
Yeah.
Probably
I mean, won't. Hyde had a really good game this year against Arizona earlier in the year.
Well, Hyde's good.
Yeah, he's fantastic. So, yeah, that's to Jake's point, I mean, if you have him, you're playing him, and whether it's a bad matchup or not, it's just on volume alone.
So that 21 to 30 range is Hill, Hyde, Kristen Michael, who we'll talk about very briefly, Peyton Barber, Rob Kelly, Matt Asiata, Capri Biebs. The Biebs! Tevin Coleman, TJ Yeldon, and CJ Prothife, who outsnapped Kristen Michael on Monday night against the Bills. Michael ends up with 5 carries, 1 yard,
yeah,
touchdown. So a great like fantasy point per touch game. Very Ryan Matthews-esque when you go to it.
Yeah.
But like, do you give him one more week and say, hey, Seattle's probably going to try to run on the Patriots? There's going to be a lot of points in that game. At least he's still getting the goal line touches.
Well, that's the one positive. I mean, he's getting the goal line touches, so he's going to continue to get them. But it seems like Seattle doesn't want to run. I mean, they can't. They've had issues all year running. I mean, ever since they made that trade for Graham, I know last year Lynch was hurt, but they haven't been able to run the ball, and it doesn't seem like they want to. So Prosise is only going to be more involved in this offense, catching balls in the backfield. It's something that they don't want to do with Michael at all. Rawls is coming back soon. So I wasn't high on playing Michael this week. I didn't like it, and it turns out that he just got enough points to make him okay, a touchdown, so it helped you. But I don't think he's going to be all that involved again this week.
Jake, can you make the case to rank Prosise over Kristen Michael against the Patriots?
For the one fact that what do we know about the Patriots is they take away your best player. And right now, that's probably Jimmy Graham. Maybe it's Doug Baldwin if that's what the way they want to go. But I think Malcolm Butler can take care of him himself. And then they just go to stop Jimmy Graham. So what's left once you stop those two guys is CJ Prosise and Kristen Michael. And the fact that he's been on the field more. If Russell Wilson is truly back, and he looked like he was close to 100% and started throwing the ball like he was last year, getting some extra time in the pocket, and he starts throwing more, well, it's going to be Prosise, not Michael, who's getting those opportunities because he's the one in the passing game. He's the far more skilled player for the passing game. So I think that's the case that you can make over the two. Kristen Michael needs a touchdown at this point. That's really the truth to it.
I think he can get it, weirdly enough, though.
He could. I mean, he didn't do much against the Saints, and he got a goal line touchdown. It's the same thing. Like, it seems like they'll give him the ball in the goal line. I mean, even Russell Wilson ran one in yesterday. It looked like maybe they were going to give it to Michael then. So he'll get goal line work. It's just it doesn't look good. They're trending in opposite directions.
Let's say he has a big game here, and this is always the problem that happens to people. Let's say he gets 18 carries for 110 yards and a touchdown or two. It's just a really good game. People are not going to want to sell him after, oh, Kristen Michael's back.
I would sell
him. That would be
second.
The ultimate time to sell him, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
All right. Peyton Barber, I have at number 24. That's assuming Doug Martin does not play. I think that's a fair ranking for him. Let's say Doug Martin does play. Where would Doug Martin fit into this mix, Jake?
I'd probably slot him in right behind Todd Gurley, only because, as we mentioned before, I'm not as big a fan as you guys are for Terrence West. Not that we get some huge argument about that, but I think if you're looking at the people there, you got Terrence West, Giovanni Bernard, and the split opportunities. LeGarrette Blount, who has been scoring touchdowns, but that's what he needs as well, because he gets you 40 or 50 rushing yards. So I think Doug Martin, if he's healthy, but the problem is I don't think he is, and I don't necessarily think he plays, or if he does, he's 100%. So I would put him behind Todd Gurley, but I wouldn't feel good about starting him.
No, I wouldn't feel good about starting him either. Yeah. I haven't seen him in a long time. And I think that if he plays, he's 100%, I feel like. I don't feel like they're going to want to – I mean –
Why do you keep a guy out for 8 weeks to bring him back too soon?
To bring him back, and then he suffers another setback.
Which we had that same conversation with Jamarl Charles, though, early this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so many guys have been hurt in that offense. I mean, Antoine Smith comes in and he's done for the year. Jaquizz Rodgers is sidelined. Sims apparently is going to return this year, but when is it going to be? The last couple of weeks of the season?
Week 13, he would be eligible to come off the IR, I believe, or it's either 13 or 14.
I just feel like they've gone so long without him that
why bring him back?
Why bring him back if he's just not 100%? It suffers another setback. His season's over, and you know what, Tampa? I know that was a big loss against Atlanta, but if they won that football game, I mean, they were kind of right there in terms of just competing for the division.
TJ Yeldon is number 29. I prefer him to Chris Ivory at this point. Very sneakily, TJ Yeldon's posting like double-digit PPR games every week.
Because they're down in like every game, and they're just passing in the fourth quarter. I mean, it's what happened last game. He got a fourth-quarter touchdown. It's Blake Bortles, man. This guy smells like garbage.
Would you play Yeldon in DFS, Jake? On draft days?
Are we talking cash or tournament?
I think it'd have to be a tournament.
I depending on his price, I didn't see what his DK price was this week, but if it's like $3,300, I think you could play him in cash. He probably gets
That's what I'm saying. If he's like even $4,000, I think you might be able to get him in a DraftKings cash game because of the consistency you're talking about is the fact that it's been there. It's just nobody's noticing that it's been there. And yes, you're banking on the fact that they're going to be down and Blake Bortles is going to go on ham in the fourth quarter and hopefully put up big yards for himself. But that's been the case over the past couple. They're back to the Jacksonville Jaguars of last year. What the concern was is that wasn't who they were, and we're right back to it. So I think you can. If his price is around that $4,000 range, I could see him in a cash game.
Rashad Jennings or Paul Perkins? I'm still going Jennings for this week.
Perkins is definitely the better back, and what I noticed in that game against Philly when they were trying to run out the clock, it was all Perkins until the opportunity when it was 3rd and 8 and they wanted to throw, they brought in Jennings because, again, Perkins is having some issues pass blocking. I just don't feel comfortable starting any of those guys. But back to Jacksonville for a second, I mean, you're going to touch on Ivory? I mean, Ivory had his best game of the season, almost had a touchdown. We all think, three of us think that should have been a touchdown. You can run on Houston. You've shown that before this season that you can run on this team. The offensive line is not great in Jacksonville. I think that's why Ivory hasn't been good, but he's coming off his best game. And watching last week, he looked pretty good.
I just worry that they might fall behind, and if they're going to pass, Ivory's just not on the field.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I get that. That's why you rank him ahead. But, I mean, Ivory is something to keep an eye on.
Sure. I have Ivory ranked at number 43. I'm not buying it. I just feel like he's... I mean, last week he wasn't touchdown or bust, but in this game, I'm thinking like...
Well, I dropped him before he started last week's game, and I'm just like, of course, yeah.
I'm thinking something like 12 carries, maybe 60 yards. Hopefully he scores a touchdown, but that's best case scenario.
Yeah, he will get the goal line work, though.
If they get to the goal line. If they get to the goal line, they like passing.
Yeah.
They love doing that. Jake, you're like Team Giants. Are you on Perkins or Jennings?
Yeah, for the long term, Perkins, but really nobody. It's the fact that this team can't run the ball, period. And the offensive line has just been terrible. They just lost Justin Pugh for 3 to 4 weeks, so I don't think it really matters who gets the lead opportunities. You think at some point they would start giving Perkins the majority share to see what they have out of him for the future. But at the same time, I don't see that happening this week. And if you want to bank between the two, Rashad Jennings is going to be on passing downs, as Chris mentioned. Maybe even Orleans Darkwa sees a little bit of a mix in here. But the matchup to me on Monday night hosting the Bengals points to a little bit more passing game work. And for that reason, I would lean towards Jennings.
What do we do with Deion Lewis? He might play this week.
I'm not playing him.
I wouldn't play him either.
I have him at number 44. I have White at number 37 because I think I don't think it affects Blunt at all at this point, but I think it steals away from White, and eventually Lewis passes White. I just don't think this is the week that happens.
I'm not happy about this because I own a lot of White, and I don't own a lot of Lewis. So, yeah, I'm not happy. I don't even know if I'm going to start White in one league as a flex because, yeah, it's going to take away. But I'm not comfortable starting Lewis. I mean, you pick him up, you stash him, and hopefully he can return some kind of value like he did in the first 6 weeks of last season. But I don't know. I feel like he only plays like a handful of snaps and maybe catches a couple balls and just gets his feet wet kind of deal. But I don't feel like he's going to be a big part of the offense.
No, that's how I see it too. Jake, do you see it any differently?
Not really. I'll be happily missing out if Deion Lewis is on my bench and he gets 20 points. Okay, fine, whatever. I'll suck that up because I really don't see that kind of usage at first game back. The fact that they've been effective with Blunt, effective with James White, even if you take some away from White. And we go back to the real factor here is Bill Belichick. Why does everybody assume just because of the few games Deion Lewis looked amazing last year, and he did look amazing, he was even an RB1 in standard leagues, that Bill Belichick's just going to go out and use him exactly the way that he did last year? I just don't see any reason for it with how effective this offense has been. That runs through Tom Brady, and that's the real appeal. That's why going forward we want Lewis, is because Tom Brady, the way he's playing, will make Lewis good. But I don't think we see that usage in the first game back. But hey, maybe Belichick screws us all over and that's exactly what he does.
That wouldn't be the first time.
No, it would not. Let's get to the Pat Mayo Hour Running Back Trade Center. Ooh. With the trade deadline coming up. Da-na-na. If we only had music and sound effects.
Yeah.
There's too many people around here doing too much work these days. Can't build graphics. Okay, so here are some running backs with good matchups. Funny, before we came on, you were talking about a guy who had traded Gurley in week 2 for Mike Evans.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about trading Gurley.
Yes.
I'm going to make the case that maybe you should buy low on Todd Gurley after this week, because in the fantasy playoffs, he gets Atlanta, Seattle, and San Francisco. Now, clearly, Seattle, not the greatest matchup. Clearly, Todd Gurley has not been the best. But against Atlanta and against San Francisco, those have to be top 10 weeks, don't they?
I was going to say, Jake, I mean, if you got to the finals with Gurley, you probably lucked out. Your rest of your roster is pretty awesome. Maybe you picked up some waiver wire guys, but maybe Gurley could win you a fantasy football championship playing San Fran.
Like, what would it take to get Gurley right now, do you think, Jake? Not much.
I don't think it would take that much. And honestly, by name value alone, you know, he's going to force a little bit higher than he should. But I think people who drafted him, I mean, at least held on to him to this point, have been so disappointed that he's now in the DeAndre Hopkins, Allen Robinson range of guys where just like they finally have given up. They've been browbeaten to this point and just saying, fine, whatever, take this guy off my hands. Just give me reasonable value. But the reasonable value, honestly, is probably high-end RB2. It's inflated because running back situation is so terrible across the league. Maybe low-end RB1, but at that price, I'll buy, because you're mentioning it, 2 out of the 3 weeks. Hopefully, you can just get past that second week of the playoffs. But 2 of those 3 weeks, he could win you that matchup by himself.
Jeff Fisher says Gurley needs more carries.
Oh, no kidding. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, like... Man, he's just the worst.
I would wait, though. I mean, if you can get a reasonable deal on Gurley right now, I would make that trade. But where he's playing the Jets this week, I just don't expect him to have a good game.
Yeah.
So it'd be better off waiting for him to have a bad game than trading for
him. So have another bad game, and then you can get him at a cheaper price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have like some sell-high guy on the go, and then you're perfect.
Yeah.
All right, so Gurley was the first one. Jonathan Stewart is next.
Ooh.
In the fantasy playoffs, he gets the Chargers, the Redskins, and the Falcons. That's not bad. He needs to stay healthy.
Yeah.
And we know that his upside is limited, but I feel people just are very disenfranchised with Jonathan Stewart. He's obviously going to cost a lot less than Gurley would cost, but I think he's a very capable target who can be a quality running back 2 down the stretch for you.
He seems healthy. He's getting a lot of the touches, and you know what he's been getting lately? The goal line work.
Yeah.
He's been getting the goal line work. It was 2 straight games where he had 2 touchdowns, so yeah, he's definitely on my radar as somebody I've been trying to get off people and just thinking maybe somebody's scared that he may get hurt again.
Do you think, Jake, do you think that Matt Forte would be a guy to sell for both Gurley, and you could probably get more than Jonathan Stewart, I would imagine, for Matt Forte, because Forte is, you know, playing all right. But is he the type of player that you'd want to flip right now?
Yeah, it's funny that the 2 running backs you just brought up were the ones that I had, right? Like, Jonathan Stewart was my buy low, especially just coming off that game. Maybe similar to what you're talking about is waiting until after this week, similar to Gurley, because he faces the Chiefs, and who knows if he has a good or bad game. So if he has 2 bad games in a row, you could get him for even less. And Matt Forte was the one that I wanted to bring up as a sell high, and mostly because what we've learned from this season so far is Matt Forte, when the game is close or they're up, great play. We've seen it the past couple weeks. He's awesome in those games. But the ones where they're down by a couple scores or they're going to go pass heavy, a lot more Bilal Powell. And not that that's not going to happen. Look, week 14 in San Francisco, you're going to love them there. But Miami, a divisional game, a lot of times they don't always have the best luck. But the biggest one is the championship game is against the Patriots. I don't want to bank on Matt Forte in my championship game going against New England.
Yeah.
2-3 more guys we can kind of bring up as buy lows right now. I've been kind of mentioning Doug Martin over and over, and just where he's been out for so long, it's really hard to assess his trade value, because if someone's kept him this long, they might not want to flip him because, oh, I've waited 8 weeks for Martin to come back, I want to keep him. But he gets the Saints twice in the fantasy playoffs, and he gets Dallas in the other game, which is, you know, neutral matchup, if nothing else. But, you know, he's probably going to be a top 20 option, probably a top 10 option in those two games if he's right. Or do you just pick up Charles Sims and stash him, and maybe he does come back?
Yeah, I mean, that's you could pick up Sims and do that, but I want Martin. I've been trying to get Martin in a lot of spots, and he's very, very intriguing. A lot of people are asking those questions, like, should I flip Martin? Should I get him? I just think it's worth the opportunity, worth the risk to try to get him because they play the Saints twice, and I don't think it would cost much to get him.
Jake?
I agree with you. If I can get Martin, I will. I'm not going to pay the value. Maybe somebody is overinflating him because they see that same matchup schedule. And that's on a lot of people's minds. If you see it, there are people who are talking about Jameis Winston and Mike Evans, and reasonably so because the matchups are terrific, even Cameron Brate. So there is going to be people out there who value him at peak value, and you're not going to be able to get him in a trade. But somebody, what you said about Charles Sims, if you can stash him on the IR, maybe somebody dropped him and you have a bench spot that you're not using, you could definitely do that for the opportunity there. And then again, if you could get Doug Martin, but I would have to pay RB2 value. I'm not going to pay RB1 because at the same time, this is a guy who hasn't, as you mentioned, come back since week two. This hamstring injury just keeps lingering and lingering and lingering. And what if we get to a point where he just never comes back?
I mean, that's in play. It's a risk you have to take if that comes down to it, but it's a risk I'm willing to take.
I'm willing to take it too, but to Jake's point, I'm not giving up an RB1 for him.
No, but
I don't think you have to.
But I'm saying buy low. Don't pay value. If you're, if they're asking value, don't get him.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can look at, just go look at Martin in every single league. I mean, for some people, he's like the fourth, fifth back. They're like not even thinking about playing Martin. So you could just go and try to get him for next to nothing.
All right, last, weirdly, he's kind of a buy high right now, but it works out a little bit because people will think that they're selling high on him, but just because of the matchups that he gets in the fantasy playoffs, the Chiefs, the Chargers, and the Colts, Latavius Murray, it's going to be tough to, you know, get proper buy low value coming off of three touchdowns.
Oh, he just had three touchdowns against Denver. Yeah. No way, I'm giving you him.
But other people are in the camp that he's sort of the buzz name right now of, like, you got to sell high after his three touchdowns. He's never going to do that again. But he probably won't do that again.
Yeah.
But if he truly does have this job and he plays around even 50% of the Raiders' backfield snaps, I think he could have great value, and you might be able to squeeze him away. Sometimes when guys get talked up as sell highs, you can get them for a lot less than they're actually worth. Just because people see sell high, and if they feel like they've missed the boat on selling high, they start giving him away.
Yeah, it's too bad. I mean, we didn't talk about him a couple weeks ago, maybe, because, you know, a lot of people are down on him, and they had the three running backs, and he was hurt for a bit. But this team moves the ball. I mean, that's what I like. They move the ball against Denver, and you give him the goal line work, and he gets touchdowns. So you look at those matchups. I mean, he's probably going to win somebody a championship. He got the Chargers, and then the next week got the Colts.
Jake, any thoughts on Latavius?
I think he's a good buy option if you can get him for what you were just saying. Assumed you're selling high, but you're probably just paying reasonable value for him if you need running back help. Because the thing is, similar to last year, if he's starting to get back into the swing of things, is it wasn't a terrific 2015 season. It was just that he saw the volume week in and week out. And so far, they're starting to move back to that recently. Jalen Richard, change of pace. DeAndre Washington is just taking a back seat to everything here. So if you get that kind of consistent volume and usage, and then you have the upside of a game like we did last week, which, yeah, probably doesn't happen again, but maybe he has a two-touchdown game in his back pocket to throw out another week down the road, I think that's what you're looking at. You're looking at somebody who's going to be a consistent RB2 and has the potential to reach RB1 any given week.
I just think the average fantasy football guy will not trade him after
a three. He is on bye week this week, though. Yeah. It could be a good time to go get him if a team has Murray and is desperate for a running back. Because I'm in a must-win situation.
For sure.
Everyone thinks every game is a must-win. Yeah. Like, if you're 4-5 right now, it's not that big of a deal.
No,
like, you can lose another week and still make the playoffs.
Yeah, you'll be all right.
Guys with bad matchups in the final. So, Christian Michael, number one. That's why if he has the big game,
you
have to get rid of him. Like, trade him for Doug Martin or Jonathan Stewart or one of these guys. In the fantasy playoffs, he gets Green Bay, the Rams, and the Cardinals. That's as bad as it gets.
And they're not running, like what we talked about. I mean,
and Rawls will probably be back.
Rawls will be back by then, and Procise getting more involved as we've been talking about.
He's a tough sell, though.
He's a really tough sell, and you just needed him to. You needed to flip him before the Saints game, or you needed him to have a great game against the Saints to flip him, and it wasn't fantastic.
So if you own Christian Michael, it works twofold. A, you play him this week, maybe he has a gigantic game, then you sell him.
You
have to sell him, though, is the thing.
Yeah.
Other guys here, I have James Starks, has bad matchups, but you're going to get him for free anyway. He's still available in most leagues. I think he's actually a good pickup, but bad matchups down the stretch. Ingram and Hightower, Tampa twice, Tampa surprisingly good against the run, and Arizona. So if one of these guys, especially Ingram, and I mean, I'm pro selling Ingram at all times anyway, but now I actually have empirical evidence that you really should try to sell him. Jake, we talked about these guys like Stewart, Doug Martin, Gurley. If Ingram has a good game here, the past of 2 weeks ago is behind him, would you flip him for Gurley?
I would absolutely flip him for Gurley, because the biggest issue behind this is Gurley doesn't have a competition for touches. Mark Ingram does. This is the first time in a long time where the Saints have had a timeshare in the backfield. This is not typical for Sean Payton. This is not typical for the Saints. I don't think it changes, as in the fact that they've now gone to the timeshare. I think it's going to be the first year in a while where this is what we see the rest of the way. Very similar to the Atlanta Falcons, but similar to the Atlanta Falcons in the usage, not so much in the matchups. As you just mentioned, it's not the best sledding down the road. So if Mark Ingram has a tough game, maybe he comes out of the gate splitting carries, gets 6 carries for 6 yards, and it starts to turn into a Hightower game. That's the frustration you're going to deal with going forward.
But I guess the big thing is, let's say Ingram comes out and looks good, and he gets like 21 carries for 110 yards and has a really good game and dominates the timeshare. I feel like people would be very unwilling to sell him at that point, but I still think you should.
Yeah, I would still do it too, because, I mean, one fumble from this guy, one bad look to Peyton, and then he's just back on the bench. So, yeah, I would absolutely. I'd flip just almost anybody for Gurley at this point besides, like, top 10 RBs.
Yeah, Andy, that's probably where you should get him. But, again, after this week is the best time to go target Gurley. So is Gurley the best buy low we have on the running back board?
I think he is.
Last ones, too. We mentioned Perkins, we mentioned Jennings, but the running backs for the Giants in the playoffs have Dallas, Detroit, and Philly. Detroit's a good matchup, better against the pass than the run, obviously, if you're going against them. Dallas, a bit neutral, and Philly, bad matchup. So even stashing Perkins might not even be a good idea.
Yeah, I know. I'm stashing him in one league, but I don't feel great about it. I'm just hoping that, like, you know, something happens. He is starting to get more play.
We've all taken jobs to earn extra cash. Back in the day, I used to work in a produce section of a grocery store. It was terrible. You don't want to do that. So I've got a better way to earn extra money on the side. Because it's so much easier today thanks to Uber. Uber's the ultimate side hustle. Driving with Uber is a new way you can earn extra cash whenever you want. It's not just another J-O-B. It's a totally flexible way to earn, and you can turn it on and off just like your car. You got a few spare hours? Drive with Uber. Have you ever wanted to be your own boss? Drive with Uber. If you're driving right now, you should be earning right now. I'd do it if I had a car. And every day is a payday when you drive with Uber, because you can cash out any time with instant pay. With access to instant pay, cash out your earnings up to 5 times a day with no minimum amount required. Listen, if you enjoy earning extra cash, you need to get your side hustle on. Sign up to drive with Uber today. Go to uber.com/drive now. That's uber.com/drive now. uber.com/drive now.
All right, so let's move to receivers. I don't want to spend too much time on this. I mean, your receivers are your receivers at this point, the guys that you're playing every week. So I have Mike Evans at the top, followed by Antonio Brown, Julio, A.J. Green, Odell Beckham, Jordy Nelson, Larry Fitzgerald, Tyrell the Gazelle, number 8. When he doesn't play Denver, he rules. And Travis Benjamin's probably not going to play. Doug Baldwin, Emmanuel Sanders, that filters into Alshon Jeffrey, Jarvis Landry, Calvin Benjamin, Brandon Cooks, Devonta Adams, Jordan Matthews, Julian Edelman, Brandon Marshall, Demaryius Thomas, and Allen Robinson at number 20. Guys, looking at that list, is there a particular name you think should be higher, should be lower? What do you see that's wrong about this, Jake?
I think Doug Baldwin's too high, in my opinion, just for the fact of, again, West Coast going east. Russell Wilson, is he 100%? Definitely looked like it, but he gets the matchup with Malcolm Butler and the Patriots secondary. I just don't necessarily think this is going to be a great day. I'm not benching him. I just don't see a top 10 performance. And the flip side of it is there's a name missing here. Do I bring up the name that's missing, or do I just say who I would rather have lower?
Go ahead.
Michael Thomas over Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks too high, Michael Thomas too low. Since week 3, he's wide receiver 8 on the season standard and PPR. He's wide receiver 11 for the season in PPR. The guy has been a beast. He is the new Marcus Colson for this team. You know, I've been saying that all year long, and I said in the preseason he would be the new Marcus Colson. I didn't expect it to come this quickly or this efficiently, but he is now the most trustworthy and number one receiver for the Saints.
I agree he's probably the number one. Unfortunately, that probably draws in Chris Harris.
See, I don't know that it necessarily does yet, and I agree there's that potential. But I still think opponents still look at this team and say, Chris Harris, you're going to get the number one, which is quote-unquote Brandon Cooks, who has the big playability. And the best part about Michael Thomas, similar to Marcus Colston, similar to Jordan Matthews, is he's a slot flanker, so he's not going to be on the outside so much and avoid Chris Harris.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Harris is going to be on Cooks.
Just Cooks has been better than Thomas at the Superdome. It's when you get outside of the Superdome that Thomas retains his value everywhere. He's basically the same at home as he is on the road. I think that they will end up, I think that teams look at this and say, wow, Michael Thomas is their best receiver. We need to take him out of the game. He's the one who's going to kill us. And I think that might leave Cooks with the ability to kind of do his little Cooks things over the middle and break a big play or two, get on that fast track. I actually do like Cooks more this week. He's averaging almost 9 points per game more in PPR at home than on the road. And he's averaging more than Thomas is at home.
Yeah. I mean, you can't argue with those numbers, but what, to Jake's point, is that Thomas, he's just really, he's excelled over these past 3 weeks, I find.
I agree. We talked about, I had him inside my top 10 last week.
Yeah, same. I mean, the 13.
I'm not sleeping on Thomas.
No.
It's just, this isn't a great spot. Hey, I'm still saying start him.
Yeah, of course. Start him. I mean, he had a tough matchup against Seattle. He was able to catch all six of his targets and have a productive day. Didn't find the end zone. Had the two touchdowns. there's not much to say. Both of these guys are great. They got a tough matchup against Denver, but they're at home. I do agree with Jake because, you know, Thomas moves around a little bit, that I think that Cooks will be I think that Harris is on Cooks. And Tlaib, last I saw, is he's getting a second opinion.
Yeah, he's not
so
playing.
I don't think he's going to be playing in this football game, so that's a concern.
So, Chris, where would you rank Thomas?
I have Thomas ahead of Cooks as well, but I have them really close to each other, just outside the top 10.
Jake, where do you have Thomas, do you think?
I would put Thomas right ahead of Kelvin Benjamin, and I would actually slide Cooks right behind Thomas ahead of Kelvin Benjamin as well.
All right, so you think that Cooks is still a reasonable play then?
Yeah, they're both.
Oh, I think he's a terrific play.
Yeah, they're both like almost, you know, neck and neck. I mean, you're just splitting hairs here. I mean, you got Drew Brees, and he throws it a ton, and both guys have been awesome wide receivers all season long.
I have Jarvis Landry at number 12. I don't feel great about that, but I do like the spot against San Diego in San Diego. But Ajayi's kind of killing the value of all these receivers, isn't he?
Very much so. And the fact is Miami secondary, for all the injuries that it's had, has been playing better of late. And I don't know if it's just the fact that Ryan Tannehill is garbage, but something is not right with Jarvis Landry this year, similar to what's going on with DeAndre Hopkins. Like, these quarterbacks are just killing these receivers, and it just hasn't been right for him this year. Granted, any given week could finally be that 10-catch for 150-yard game, but it just doesn't look like it's happening this year. I think that might be a little bit aggressive ranking on just on the what we've seen so far, and I think we're underrating the defensive matchup for what San Diego secondary is.
Maybe. Adam Gase came out after the game and said they wanted to get Landry more looks, and when you give him six targets, when the guy should be averaging like 12, for a lot of easy throws for Tannehill. And Kenny Stills wasn't around either for half the game. And Devontae Parker doesn't do anything. I'm going to give him another shot. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt this week and run Landry back out. And, you know, if he lets me down again, he lets me down. Brandon Marshall's...
That was the problem, is I gave him the benefit of the doubt last week in DFS, so he already had my shot.
Ah.
Yeah, he's been letting... I mean, I'm just not a big Landry guy anyways. I understand why you guys like him, and I understand why people like him in PPR leagues, because you want him to get those double-digit targets.
Listen,
and double
standard...
Catch 13 balls for 60 yards, whatever. It's all good.
Standard leagues, I'd have him at like 35.
He's not. I wouldn't even want to start him.
No. Brandon Marshall has done really nothing in really great opportunities over the past few weeks. I still have him at 18. I still believe that the upside is there. It looks like Fitzpatrick's going to play. It's a good matchup against the Rams. They basically have no pass defense whatsoever, despite the fact that everyone still thinks that the Rams are a really good defense.
Yeah.
They're not. I hate to tell you. But Brandon Marshall, he's not in the circle of trust anymore, but he's still a wide receiver too. Right, Jake?
I think so, and this is a situation, actually, the number one wide receivers against the Rams have done a pretty good job this year, so what you're saying is very accurate. People just assume things and assume the Rams have been good on defense. Similar to people have assumed that the Bills have been good on defense, and we just saw what happened with the Seahawks, and just these assumptions from what people see in perception and last year still carrying over to this season, which shouldn't matter at this point. You're 100% right. The Rams are not a defense to be worried about in the passing game.
Yeah, like I would rather, you know, I'd rather start Thomas and Brown. Like, I'm just down on Marshall, and it's just because of Fitzpatrick. I mean, not having Decker there, I think, has really hurt Brandon Marshall.
Yeah.
Fitzpatrick's been so inaccurate. I mean, he's obviously not 100%. And Marshall doesn't seem like 100% either. He kind of limped off the field a couple times in that football game, you know, last week. So I'm not doubting his talent, but it's just there's not a connection there that we saw last year.
Bryce Petty, man. We might get him this week.
Oh, God.
A 2-for-2, 16 yards. Bryce Petty, get him in there.
What a hero. rank, for PPR purposes, Jake, the Green Bay receiving corps.
Oh, wow. That's a good one. For PPR, I think we get one more good week at a time on Montgomery before we really start to see a concern. But that being said, I'd still go Jordy Nelson first because I think the touchdowns are just going to keep coming. It's been inconsistent there for a few weeks, but he's back on track with Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball 40-plus times. So I would still go Jordy, then Ty Montgomery, Randall Cobb if he's out there, and then Devontae Adams. I think the big question is just whether or not Randall Cobb is going to play again this week. He didn't look like he had a setback and kind of screwed a lot of people over on their bench and scoring that touchdown. But I think if he's back near 100%, I would still take him over Devontae Adams at this point.
I go Jordy at 6. I have Adams at 15, Cobb at 21, and Montgomery at 24.
Yeah, Montgomery's 4th for me, too.
4th for you, too. Yeah, he could be the best one.
Yeah, sure.
I think what we're kind of saying out of all of this, and Jake, I didn't get your actual ranking on Montgomery or Adams for that point, but they're all startable in PPR leagues, right?
I'd say so. I'm a little bit concerned about Adams this week. After last week, what was it, 2 catches for -1 yard? And you look at the fact that Randall Cobb is back in the mix again. Ty Montgomery is going to be this hybrid usage every single week. I don't know if there's enough to go around where he's going to be consistent week in and week out. He can always put up the biggest game. Heck, he did a few weeks ago. He's dead 4th for me. He's not even close. I would rank the other 3 and then a gap and then Devontae Adams.
I still feel comfortable with Adams. I still think he's going to get his 8 to 10 targets.
Well, he got a touchdown last week.
Did he end up with a touchdown?
I'm pretty sure.
Stupid.
Yeah, he's been scoring touchdowns. It's hard to predict. Game, I'm pretty sure
No, because Cobb did.
Yeah, but I think they both had one.
No, it was
Nelson had one. Jordy had one.
No, didn't you hear my whole comment about 2 catches for -1?
I know, but I'm feeling that
a
touchdown.
You're right. He did get a garbage time. I guess he got really? 4 catches, 41 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah, had him in the Fantasy Pros contest. Jake came 2nd. Devontae Adams on my squad. Touchdown. Thomas, too. 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, Thomas was everywhere.
Yeah, I know. To Jake's point, yeah, I mean, he had the 30 targets in 2 games, and then he didn't get a lot of play. It's the same thing with Green Bay, is that these wide receivers are not getting open for Aaron Rodgers, and they're having a hard time. This guy seems to have so much time in the pocket. He's moving around. He's waving guys over. He's pointing, get out of my way, block this guy. And it seems like he's just running. He's got a lot of rushing yards over the past few weeks. Rodgers, as much as he's throwing, he's moving, with his legs as well.
21-30, we have Randall Cobb, Michael Thomas, Terrell Pryor, Ty Montgomery, Stephon Diggs coming off his million catch performance, Dez Bryant, who I'm kind of worried about, not going to lie to you, Steve Smith, Sanor on Thursday night, Mike Wallace followed right behind him in another good matchup, again, same matchup as Steve Smith, DeAndre Hopkins, Sterling Shepard on Monday night, then we get into Cole Beasley, Willie Snead, Jameson Crowder, Marquise Lee, assuming Allen Hurns does not play with a concussion, Kendall Wright, Will Fuller, John Brown, Brian Quick, Quincy Enunwa, and Sammy Coates. Eli Rogers follows behind him in that range, too. Cam Meredith's down there. Is there anyone you particularly want to make a case for this week that you think is a really good play that I don't have ranked that way?
My boy Mike Wallace. I think he should be up a few spots. I mean, why not?
I think Steve Smith is a better play.
I don't.
He gets more targets. He's going to get more receptions. And if Wallace doesn't...
I'm looking at the big boom here, and that's
what
I want.
The big boom!
He had 2 touches against Cleveland. He torched them twice in that game. He torched last week. He has 4 big touchdowns. Flacco just goes to him. I get Smith is going to get maybe... What's he going to do? He's going to do like Parker. He's going to get 7 catches for 60, 70 yards. I don't care about that. I care about a catch for 60 and a touchdown.
If the defender doesn't fall down against Mike Wallace, he finishes that game...
We're talking about Cleveland here. We're talking about Cleveland. That's probably going
to
happen.
He's a top 30 guy. I would prefer to have the volume of Steve Smith here. Jake, you got to act as a tiebreaker.
Steve Smith.
Yeah!
Absolutely. No question about it. Have you looked at it earlier in the year? Once he finally started getting on track back to 100%, he rattled off 3 straight really nice games. And I think that he's going to get back close to 100%. If I'm taking one in this matchup for this game, it is Steve Smith.
I think in standard, I would play Wallace.
Well, yeah, of course.
I just think there's a lot of safe points with Steve
Smith. What do you mean, of course? If it wasn't for that 90-yard play last week, he has a mediocre game. And granted, that's his upside every single week.
Yeah, that's what
I... How many times has that happened in the season? 4? Maybe 5 times?
He's got 6 or 7 touchdowns. It's happened 5 times where he's had big bombs.
Not that big of a play. He's got the touchdowns, but not to a play to that caliber.
A-Rap, bring up the game log. He's getting it done. I mean, in Cleveland in week 2, he had 2 big bombs too. So yeah, I think that this is a Flacco game. I understand what you guys are saying. It's just Steve Smith. I just feel like his upside is just capped to me. I just don't think it's as high of a ceiling as Mike Wallace. That's how I feel.
I just think that he's going to end up... We saw Mike Wallace when Steve Smith was out get the 10 targets a game for those 3 weeks. Now he drops back to 6. Smith gets 7. And as Jake mentioned, when we saw Steve Smith get healthy for that 3-week period, he was getting 11. 12 yeah. targets. He was the guy to throw.
He looked fully healthy last week, too. Like, I don't have big time issues with Steve Smith. It's just, it's much like Landry.
Why do you hate Steve Smith?
I don't hate him. He's a little old. I don't hate him.
So is Mike Wallace.
I get it, but Mike Wallace has been more productive and healthy. That's all. Okay. And it's Cleveland. And everybody has been able to torch Cleveland. Everybody has been able to
except
torch
Dez
him this
Bryant.
Year.
Yeah, except
well, they don't throw to Dez Bryant. They'd rather throw to Beasley.
What do we do with Dez Bryant? Like, is 26 a fair ranking for Dez?
I think it is. I mean, honestly, here's the biggest problem. Is like Dak Prescott, extremely impressive in the conversation for rookie. It probably would be rookie of the year in any other season if it wasn't for Ezekiel Elliott. Heck, people love voting for quarterbacks, so he'll probably get votes. The two of them are probably going to split it somewhere.
Is Michael
along
Thomas going to be in this mix?
What was that?
Is Michael Thomas going to be in this mix? He's going to end up with like 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns.
He'll be in
the mix. Deserves to be, but the problem is it's going to be overshadowed by how great Ezekiel Elliott's been. The fact that Dak Prescott's a quarterback, the wide receiver is always going to end up probably taking the third to those positions. So he deserves to be in the mix. The three of them could probably split it three ways across, but I think he'll be end up the third, or maybe even fourth, depending on what happens for the rest of the way. But the problem with Dak Prescott is, as great as he's been and he's throwing for touchdowns, he just made the joke about it, is he likes throwing over the middle of the field. He likes throwing safe routes, safe yardage. He's not an aggressive downfield passer. He doesn't throw the fade route very well yet. And what do you need for Dez Bryant? You need the touchdowns and the fade routes and the end zone looks. And he's just not getting those. When Dez Bryant's been scoring, a lot of times it's been on his own accord, and that's the biggest problem.
I know. 2 weeks ago, he had 14 targets and only four catches. I mean, he made a hell of a catch in the end zone against the Eagles. And to Jake's point, he can't throw that fade because he tried to throw it to Dez, and it was brutal. If it wasn't for Dez knocking it down, it would have been picked.
Am I stupid for not having Beasley ahead of Dez then in PPR?
No, because you still have him close, and I think that if you get any given week, you're going to say Dez Bryant. This is similar to the argument earlier. Yeah. Is if you're going to bench Dez Bryant, you can't do that.
You can't. It's your team. Do what you want.
If you want to wake up on Monday morning and be like, oh, my God, I have 20 points on my bench, then, yeah, sure, do it.
I mean, if you wanted to. I mean, that's not a crazy thing to say, though. Like, I have Diggs at 25, Dez at 26, Smith, and then Wallace in the rankings. I mean,
I actually like Diggs more.
Yeah,
that
I mean,
needs to be a little bit higher.
Pat Shurmur came in, and they
Diggs,
you know, 14 targets,
Norman, though.
14 targets, 13 catches. I noticed in that offense, they just moved the ball quicker. Bradford, because he's been attacked all year long, is that Shurmur was just saying, get the ball out quicker, get it out quicker, and that's what we saw. I mean, 14 targets, 13 catches. It was a lot of short throws.
And he's likely not to see Josh Norman. He's the slot guy, and that's the people that do damage against. Look, the Giants did it. They moved Odell Beckham into the slot to avoid Josh Norman and get some work out of there. And I'm not saying Diggs is Odell Beckham, but the slot guys are how you beat the Redskins.
Any sleepers you can think of this week that are just down on the list that are worth a flyer in deeper leagues? I'm thinking if Travis Benjamin doesn't play, that Inman might actually become a decent spot.
Yeah, I liked him last week, too, and Inman put up a nice game. He's been consistent over the past couple of weeks. No touchdown, but we're really hoping for that to come through at some point. He's been very consistent, though, with Travis Benjamin being now third on this team, even with the injury playing through it. He's been third on this team in snaps. It's really been Inman and Tyrell Williams so far, so I like that one. And I think J.J. Nelson is a huge boom or bust. There's no question about it. But he's going against the 49ers. It's at home, coming off the bye. He's the third receiver on this team now. We always know the Arizona receivers, the third option or the second option, or even Larry Fitzgerald could boom or bust any given week, but that's why he's a sleeper.
What's he had, like 20 targets, J.J. Nelson, the past couple games? So, yeah, he's been really productive. And Jake, let's just get your take on Pittsburgh here, because it's almost the same thing talking to me when I think about, you know, Baltimore and the whole targets. Eli Rogers had a lot of targets. Coates had the five, nothing. But who would you rather play? Would you rather go for that big boomer bust, or is like Eli just getting, you know, six or seven catches in the slot?
And probably no Darius Hayward Bay in this game, too, and no Marcus Wheaton. So all three of them will probably be on the field a lot, I'd imagine.
Yeah, and if you're looking at the matchup purposes, the Ravens, the one thing that they're doing is giving up a ton of touchdowns to receivers and getting beat over the top. That's why I would like Coates in this game. But if you're going for the pure safety play, it obviously is Rodgers and PPR, because you're probably going to get five or six catches, and maybe he only averages 10 yards a catch, but that'll be a nice floor for anybody. But if I'm going for the big play option, if I'm going for who I think really has the potential, this is a matchup ripe for Coates. And hey, he barely missed having one last week. Granted, it was his own fault, but
he drops one in the end zone every time.
I'm willing to take that risk on Coates this week. I have him at 40 because there is risk involved. Obviously, I have Rodgers at 43. I actually think there's going to be a lot of points in the Steelers-Cowboys
game. I do too. And a lot of that came in, you know, in garbage time. But, you know, he's when Rodgers is playing, Big Ben has really targeted him and looked his way a lot, especially earlier in the year. And then Rodgers got hurt, obviously Ben. But what, 10 targets, like 100 yards for Rodgers? It's not bad.
Who's Philly playing this week?
Philly's playing Atlanta.
Philly's playing Atlanta. You know what Atlanta likes to do?
Throw.
Yeah, they like to score points and give up big plays on top of it.
Yeah, they're like allowing the most and scoring the most, I think.
Aguilar. Watch out for Aguilar this week, is all I'll say. I'm at 47. He's still the guy besides Jordan Matthews and Ertz who's like the other guy getting targets. One of these weeks he's going to go crazy. He's not a guy to own and start every week, but I think this is a decent spot. Jake, any more flyers down this list?
No, I think you pretty much hit on them. Although, why don't you correct me with the whole thing? Is that saying Ravens? I meant to say Cowboys.
I didn't want to bring attention to it. That's why I reiterated what the actual matchup was when I said that's what a pro does.
You said the wrong team. I can fully live with that.
Yeah, but we didn't even have to think about that. I said, Cowboys, Steelers. I think there's a lot of points. That way people get the clarification they need.
Philly's got a new deep threat guy.
Further down the list, maybe. Because of the situation, Tyler Lockett is a boomer bust because he's finally back to being healthy. They used him in a run last night. You look at the situation for him. The snap count's always concerning with him, but he has that ability to always take one out. So I really think that you're asking for sleepers. I think he's looking better, especially if Russell Wilson's 100%.
Do we care about Tyreek Hill at all? If Macklin doesn't play against Carolina, I mean, you could probably torch him. He's really fast.
Yeah, Albert Wilson was the one who had all the targets last week. But that could have been a Foles thing. Smith is expected to be back. So it's really hard to tell. I'd just start Kelsey and be on my way.
Yeah, for sure.
Like Tyreek Hill, if you have to. I'd still prefer like Cordarrelle. If I was going to play like one of those super fast guys that breaks a big one, Cordarrelle Patterson would be my pick.
Yeah.
To your point, Chris, you got to remember, sometimes these players step up and can't handle being a number one.
Yeah, no, you're right.
All right, let's talk some trade value. Trade value at receiver. This show is going to be way too long. Maybe I should cut out all the trade value parts and make that its own show.
Yeah, probably.
We'll see. We'll see how this goes. Wide receivers with good matchups. I don't want to get too big into it, but here are some guys that you could potentially trade for. Crowder and DeSean Jackson get Philly, Carolina, and Chicago in the fantasy playoffs. San Diego's passing game in general is really good, but if people aren't respecting Ty Williams as a top 15, top 10 option, he gets Carolina, Oakland, and Cleveland.
Yes. And that's why I love Philip Rivers, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Listen, it's just the entire passing game for the Chargers you really want to be a part of, and even Melvin Gordon. But the other ones here, Chicago, the Giants, and Dallas in the fantasy playoffs, Golden Tate and Marvin Jones. People have asked me if they should drop Marvin Jones.
Man. Why? I know, I get it. Like, and when we had Jake on Sunday, Pat, when you weren't here, we were talking a lot about this. The first 4 weeks, it was all Jones. And then the last 4 weeks, now five, it's been all Tate, and it's basically been flipped in terms of targets and stuff. But, I mean, those are really good matchups. I mean, Jones, you could probably get him for next to nothing. People want to drop him.
Yeah.
Sure, give him to me. I'll take him.
Would you trade for Marvin Jones right now?
Oh, I absolutely would. I don't think I want to start him until I see some things clear up or probably favorable matchups. But for what you can get him for right now, if people are talking about dropping him, you're going to get him for dirt cheap. Heck, you might just wait to see what your waivers are running and people do drop him since there's four teams on a bye, including Marvin Jones. So maybe you don't even need to trade for him. Just see what happens and then rolls out Wednesday. And then if he is still on somebody's team on the bye, just go out and trade for him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And being on the bye, it hurts his value more, weirdly enough.
Absolutely. I think I like Tate the rest of the season more, though, just what I've seen the
past few
weeks.
I do as well. And, I mean, do you like Crowder or DeSean the rest of the season? I like Crowder.
I like Crowder, too, more. Yeah.
And he's someone that doesn't have the name value of Jackson that you could probably target and get for pretty cheap. But, like, Ty Williams, if I have Jarvis Landry, I'd trade him for Ty Williams.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Would you trade Allen Robinson for Tyrell Williams? Because I would, because Allen Robinson in the fantasy playoffs gets the Vikings, Texans, and Titans. Those are bad matchups.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you have to. Even though he's getting a lot of targets, again, he was top 10 in targets this week, but you just watch those games and Bortles just misses him. I mean, he's wide open sometimes and he just overthrows him. And it is what it is, man. It's bad quarterback play, and it's really hurting Allen Robinson. You look at those matchups, they're not great.
Well, how about this then? Guys with other bad matchups in the fantasy playoffs, the Colts get Houston, Minnesota, and Oakland. Obviously, Oakland is good, but you might not be into Week 16 against those other two matchups. If I had T.Y. Hilton right now. And obviously his value is down a little bit, but you can point to his entire body of work. You can point to all the targets. He is a guy that if you're in the market for like Gurley or imagine if someone had Gurley and Tyrell Williams, you'd be like, oh, give me Gurley, Tyrell Williams, I'll give you T.Y. Hilton and another piece. They'd be like, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I love T.Y.
Allen Robinson.
I think T.Y. Hilton is actually a really nice trade piece. And Moncrief probably retains more value in tougher matchups, but I don't love Moncrief's upside. He just kind of catches three passes and a touchdown.
It's just touchdowns. It's now 8 of his last 11 games with Luck, he's caught a touchdown, and no multi-touchdown games. The only 3 games and he didn't was Denver this year. He got hurt in that game. Denver last year and Carolina last year when they had a good defense. So you could probably get something for Moncrief because of the fact that you just said. I mean, he catches 3 or 4 balls, he gets a touchdown. He doesn't have that volume that some of these other wide receivers have.
Take him.
You'll take Moncrief.
Yeah, because it's the complaint that everybody made about Eric Decker, and guess what? Yeah, all he does is catch touchdowns. I'll take him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, what if you could get something big for him back?
What's big?
I don't know. Like, what if you could trade Moncrief in a piece for Gurley?
Oh, okay. Well, if I need running back help and I have the wide receiver depth, I'd definitely do that.
But I think that's a trade that's somewhat probably on the table.
Yeah.
All right. Well, in that case, yeah.
Would you trade Moncrief for Ty Williams? Because I would.
I'd say in a PPR, yes. Standard, no.
I think either or. I think Ty Williams is a fringy wide receiver one the rest of the year.
That's a little bit aggressive for me. You could be right. I don't think I'm there yet.
All right. Well, I think that kind of speaks to what you need to give up for Ty Williams, because people aren't valuing him the way that I'm seeing. I think he's a really good trade target, and I would go out and try to get him. I would be aggressive. Obviously, you don't have to give up wide receiver one value for him, but if you could give up a Moncrief for him, I would. I would take that shot on a guy that gets more volume.
Yeah, it's like,
and
Robinson.
That's a really good point, because if you look to like our argument earlier about Michael Thomas and Brandon Cooks, if you go after somebody, the owner of either one, if somebody's like, all right, well, Michael Thomas has been great, but he's still not Brandon Cooks, or people are like, oh no, Brandon Cooks is not the number one anymore, take one of those guys, they get Tampa Bay twice at the end of the season.
I saw somebody in my league flip Thomas for Cooks. Like that was a trade that happened last week.
That's neat. I listen, objectively, I would rather have Thomas.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there are bad matchups for him when they go on the road, whereas Cooks is just not as good on the road. It's just this week I happen to like Cooks a little bit
They're
more.
Both good.
Yeah, they're both good. That's essentially what we can boil it down to. If Macklin comes back somehow this week and has a good game, trade him immediately.
I don't even feel comfortable starting this guy anymore.
No, neither do I.
It's just he's not starting on any of my teams.
Jake, do you have any buy lows, sell highs, anything like that?
No, because you kind of took all my players. Yeah. T.Y. Hilton was a sell high as one. Kelvin Benjamin, if you can get him and survive the one really bad matchup in there, I think that he has a nice championship game for you if you look at that matchup. But it's more so the fact is the only reason I even said him and bringing him up as a potential buy low is because nobody's talking about him. Like, you don't see Kelvin Benjamin as a discussion piece. Like, people aren't like, oh, do I start him? Do I sit him? Do I trade him? Do I sell him? And those are usually those guys that people are like, you know, they don't care about. So you're just throwing an offer. You could get a wide receiver one with the potential for wide receiver two for the potential wide receiver one any given week. Even against Norman, he could possibly catch a touchdown that week. He's been quiet in the end zone of recent. So I think now is actually a good buy low on him.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, Jake. Kelvin Benjamin, what could you have gotten from him after the first couple weeks when he had four touchdowns? Everyone just assumes that he's going to have a good game, and he hasn't been having it. So that's a guy that I would like to acquire, too. And do we just assume Alshon Jeffrey's, you know, back now? I mean, touchdown in the last game with Cutler.
Cutler's a quarterback.
I'm going to work under that impression.
Yeah.
I need my teams to have that.
Because we were talking about flipping Robinson for Jeffrey a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I would have done that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I just own Alshon Jeffrey everywhere. I couldn't make that trade. Because part of the preseason rankings was I had Alshon over Robinson.
Yeah.
And that was a decision I made because I kept going Evans, Alshon in every draft. Yeah. Okay, let me ask you this for last kind of sell high receiver, because this is a guy you can get a billion bucks for. You can get basically anyone you want for this guy. But how do you feel about these matchups? Cleveland week 14, pretty good. Pittsburgh and then Houston. Houston in week 16 is somewhat troubling. Those are AJ Green's matchups. With Eifert back, and Eifert presumably going to take away some of the touchdown share, some of the targets in the red zone, is AJ Green more of a top 10 guy than a top like 4 guy the rest of the season? Because if he is, and he's in that mix down with, you know, he's not on the Brown tier, the Beckham tier, the Evans tier, the Julio tier. He's on that next tier. I feel like you can get a lot for him.
Like, absolutely.
Like,
and that's the reason why, is because you're going to get something back and another piece that can help you for AJ Green, because right now his value, his trade value, are with all those pieces, and those pieces get you something and a piece back with them. So I'm with you for the fact that I would probably be fond of making that trade, period, because even if I had Odell Beckham or Julio Jones, like, these receivers haven't been perfect this year, and even Antonio Brown's had his off games, and granted, Landry Jones was that quarterback, but he had yards and without a touchdown in that game last week was quiet. He hasn't been perfect, so if you look at him on a game-per-game basis, any of these receivers, if you can get a wide receiver one and something back, you got to do it. And then when you add in the factor of those matchups, I think AJ Green's a really good one.
You know what's going to be really sad at the end of the year? That I ranked Mike Evans too low in my overall rankings. Is he the best receiver? Fantasy-wise? Yeah.
I would lean towards you make the argument for him, and you would have to argue against me to say no. I think that I think he deserves it right as of today.
Especially with the Saints twice in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he has one bad matchup the rest of the year. It's against Seattle. That's it. And he could probably overcome that because he's going to get 21 targets.
Yeah, I mean,
he is DeAndre Hopkins of last year.
Well, look at Woods against Seattle yesterday.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, no, he's fantastic. I was right there with you, Pat. I own Mike Evans in, like, almost every single league, and you were able to get him in, like, the second round if you wanted to on the turn. So, yeah, I'm great point about AJ Green. I mean, you could get a back and a wide receiver.
Okay, do you think you could trade AJ Green for Evans right now?
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to trade Evans for AJ.
I wouldn't make that deal either, but I would say the majority of people would, and you might be able to get something else along with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right.
Explore that option.
Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans proudly supports the Pat Mayo Hour. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage approval process into the 21st century. Fast, powerful, completely online. Rocket Mortgage has taken all the complicated, time-consuming parts of applying for a mortgage out of the equation. If you hate searching through stacks of old files and paperwork, well, with Rocket Mortgage, you can easily share your bank statements and pay stubs at the touch of a button, helping you get approved in minutes for a custom mortgage solution that's been tailored to your financial situation. And even better, with Rocket Mortgage, you can do all this on your phone or tablet. It's a quick online process you can manage from the convenience of your couch. So, if you're looking to refinance your mortgage or buy a home, check out Rocket Mortgage today at quickenloans.com/mayo. That's quickenloans.com/mayo. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states and MLSconsumerAccess.org number 3030. Let's move to tight ends. Here's what I'm going to do. We're not going to talk about the rankings. We're just going to stick to trade value for the rest of the show because we're running way too long. Go to Roto Experts. Go to Sports Grid. You can see all the rankings up there. I have the triple plays for all this stuff. Jimmy Graham, good guy. You know, you might want to added him 10 years ago or 10 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But trade value wise for tight ends, here are the guys that I'm looking at. Gates, as we talked about with this Cleveland or Chargers offense. Now, would you go after Henry? Because it seemed like when Gates was healthy and Henry wasn't, that, you know, it was more trending towards Gates. Henry was playing like 50% of the snaps. But if Henry comes back, do you think it takes away from the bottom line of Gates? Because he gets the Panthers, Raiders, and Browns.
It might take away a little bit, but Gates seems healthy, and, you know, now he's getting, you know, the red zone. I mean, that touchdown count, they probably have that chart up in the locker room, like, oh, you only need a couple more for the record. Let's get it done. I think he takes away from a little bit, but I like Gates more the rest of the season.
Jake, do you like Gates the rest of the season, or do you think if someone dropped Hunter Henry that he's someone to go kind of pick up and stash if you need a fringy top 10 guy if something happens to Gates?
I don't know that I would stash him until unfortunately it might be too late. You might have to be aggressive to get him if something happened to Gates, but between the two, I still want Gates. I think that we saw a little blip from Henry for the upside of his future, but as kind of what happens often with rookies, and this is before he even got hurt, is he starts to take a little bit of a step back. Rookie tight ends struggle in some aspects of the game, and we saw defenses start to key on him a little bit more, and it slowed him down. So I do want Gates. Obviously, his value would be terrific if Gates went down, but I don't think I'm wasting a bench spot on a tight end.
No, especially on a week where there was no Gronk, Eifert, Miller, Vernon Davis. There's another guy, too.
Reed.
Oh, yeah, Fedorowicz. Reed.
Speaking of which, Miller down the stretch.
And 12 different tight ends caught a touchdown this past week.
Did you say Zach Miller, Jake?
Love him down the stretch.
Yeah, Detroit, Green Bay, and Washington. All positive matchups for tight ends. And it's funny, in my triple play this week, I highlighted Zach Miller. And for reference, he is number 9 in the rankings this weekend. 3rd in catches at tight end, 4th in targets, 10th in yards. He's overcome, like, everyone else's value on that team has been up and down.
Yeah, he's been steady.
Depending on the quarterback, even the running backs have been in flux. He's been the steady one, and it's going to pay off big time in the fantasy playoffs.
And he's been scoring touchdowns this year, too.
I think that is 3.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Weirdly enough.
He had 2-1 game. Come on, man.
So you like Miller too, Jake?
No, I love him. I think he's one of my favorite. And you, right before that stretch, he gets San Francisco too.
Oh, even better. Yeah, that's not in the playoffs though.
No,
it's not
that, what
we're
concerned about. That'll get you in.
Yeah. If you need him, it's a tiebreaker. There you go. What about Ebron? Because since Ebron's come back from this ankle, he's been balling.
He was balling before the ankle injury. The fact is, he figured something out in the offseason on how to make his hands work, and as long, that's all really what it takes, is he's a matchup problem for defenses, did well against the Vikings, which was one of the concerns, is, okay, can we really trust him? And he was good. He's been, I would say, top six tight end value for what he, when he's been healthy, he's in that conversation.
I like him a lot. It just, sometimes it takes these tight ends, man, some time to get going. In the 3 years, he's got such a big body. If he can, and he's been catching, so, and he's been heavily targeted. I mean, yeah, those couple games he's been back, he's been a big part of that offense, and Stafford throws the ball a ton, so there's a lot to like about Ebron.
CJ Fedorowicz gets Indy, the Jags, and the Bengals. Not great, but for deeper leagues, he probably was dropped during the bye week, but
yeah.
I worry about like the three-way tight end split that they have, but he clearly is the guy that Osweiler likes to throw to. Now, they're very easy passes, and Brock Osweiler has like 20-foot arms.
Yeah.
They're like forward handoffs to CJ Fedorowicz.
So I kept him actually in one league. I rolled out Pitta this week. Disappointing. I'm going to probably roll out Pitta again against Cleveland, but I think if he has a bad game, I'm just going to roll with CJ the rest of the year. I don't know. How do you feel about that, Jake?
I prefer him as a matchup play, because if you look at it, it was up, down, up, down, up, down, and the two road games are the down games against Minnesota, against Denver, which you can excuse him for that, but it comes down to really Brock Osweiler's play. So if I don't like Brock and I don't like the matchup for him, because the red zone opportunities is really what's boosting him, because those three up games, he scored a touchdown in all three of them.
Yeah.
So that's the appeal of Fedorowicz. And if you look at the schedule, more good games than bad, but I don't think he's somebody that I'm going to want every single week, because those floors are because of Brock and the floor is very low.
Guys with bad matchups in the fantasy playoffs, Kobe Fleener gets Tampa twice, been pretty good against tight ends, and Dallas, who've been pretty good against tight ends. See if you can flip him for Zach Miller. People love Fleener for no good reason.
Because they're idiots.
You could probably get something decent for Walker.
Well, how about that for Delanie Walker?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking about Fleener.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Delanie Walker gets Denver, Kansas City, and Jacksonville, three subpar matchups for tight ends. Delanie's been hit and miss.
Yeah.
He's not quite on that level. And I would throw Kelsey into that mix, too. Like, if you can get Zach Miller, like, if you're trying to target something like the Marvin Joneses of the world or the Gurleys or something like that, have Kelsey or have Delanie Walker as one of your pieces. See if you can get an Ebron Miller along back as a part of the package and set yourself up for the playoffs. That would be my move. Jake, are there any other sell high tight ends or not really sell high, but just sell tight ends to get rid of now?
I think Kelsey was the big one, is because just the inconsistent value he has, and he's always got that name appeal where people think everything's going to be great with him. Fleener was the other one. I don't have really any more, but I wanted to go back one, and I think you overlooked for buy low or somebody that might have just been sitting out there, because I know he was out there in a lot of leagues last week, and I said go pick him up. Chris knows where I might know where I'm going with this, but Jason Witten, the last 3 weeks at the Giants, who he always abuses the Giants for some reason, and then the Buccaneers and the Lions to finish things out.
Yeah, Jake was all over it on Sunday, even
before
Sunday.
Won some Monday.
And yeah, he had a monster game. Oh, good call.
All right, well, lastly, let's get to the quarterbacks and guys to target. And if you've been kind of following along with this, Phillip Rivers is the best one.
Yes.
Get Phillip Rivers now before it's too late.
I know.
And people don't catch on to the fact that he plays the Panthers, Raiders, and Cleveland. Imagine if you get the first round bye in your weeks 15 and 16 matchups or against the Raiders and the Browns and your Phillip Rivers.
And people don't seem to like Phillip Rivers because he's not this flashy, sexy quarterback. But, man, he's, again, a top 10 quarterback this year. And you look at these matchups.
The only downside is that Gordon steals all the touchdowns.
Yeah, he does. But also to that point is they just seem to get in the red zone a lot. I mean, after Matt Ryan, I think he has the most passing attempts inside the red zone. So he's still throwing the ball there.
So for rankings wise of guys to go target, obviously Breeze is Breeze. Whoever has Breeze probably isn't going to get rid of him.
No.
Matt Ryan, weirdly enough, has three awesome matchups in the fantasy playoffs too. And it seems like all year people are waiting for the bottom to drop out on Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Jake, would you trade for Matt Ryan?
Oh, I would absolutely trade for Matt Ryan, because the best part about it is a lot of the Matt Ryan owners have another quarterback. Heck, I'm in a league where somebody has Matt Ryan and Drew Brees, because it was just at the end of the draft, and okay, I'll just take Matt Ryan. And he's been having the headache of which one do I start any given week, and you could probably still get Matt Ryan for less than Drew Brees. Heck, if somebody told you Aaron Rodgers or Matt Ryan, you could probably still pay less to get Matt Ryan because everybody's just waiting for the bottom to fall out, and he's been the best quarterback.
It's funny you say that. Not that Aaron Rodgers is ever a sell, but he gets Seattle, Chicago, and Minnesota in the fantasy playoffs. Like, those are not high upside matchups. If you could trade Rodgers for Ryan and a piece, maybe that's a move you want to make.
I would put straight up, and yes, so if you can get a piece, absolutely.
It's funny. I have Ryan in one league, and it's the league I have Brady, and I picked up Ryan for week one to play and just kind of held on to him. My move now is trying to sell Brady just to keep Matt Ryan to play because Brady's going to get you more in return. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's a bigger name. Yeah, I don't think it's going to fall out for Matt Ryan. He's looked great this year. I mean, the offense is rolling. He's throwing the ball a ton. He's first in yards. He's first in touchdowns. So, yeah, I mean, the only person that's right there with him is Drew Brees.
So the other guys with great matchups in the fantasy playoffs, Brees obviously gets Tampa twice, and Arizona's a bit tough, but Tampa twice is pretty good. Jameis gets the Saints twice, and he gets the Cowboys in a game where they should have to throw. Cam gets San Diego, Washington, and Atlanta. Those are all good matchups for Cam, and people are kind of sleeping on Cam right now.
A lot of people are down on him. I have a hard time ranking him like top 10 quarterback.
Would you trade Rodgers for Cam?
No, I don't think so.
Jake?
I actually probably would.
I think I'm in that mix, and I think you could get more back Cam in a piece if you were to trade Aaron Rodgers right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get a piece, you probably can get a piece of two pieces better than one, of course. So, I mean, if that could happen, I mean, straight up, I wouldn't do it.
If Dak is still the quarterback, he gets the Giants, Bucks, and Lions weeks 14 to 16. Now, it's always risky with Dak because Elliott could just score all the touchdowns, almost like the Melvin Gordon situation, and he doesn't have the same bulk of pass attempts that Phillip Rivers is going to have. But for deeper leagues, Dak is someone you could probably, even in shallower leagues, he's someone you could go pick up now if your quarterback has like bad matchups one of those weeks. I think you could roll out Dak no problem, as long as he's still the quarterback, of course.
And all signs point to him still being the quarterback.
All right, Jake, last guy. Derek Carr, Kansas City, San Diego, Indianapolis. How does that sound?
Sounds okay. Here's the problem is we talk about Oakland, and they've been playing a little bit better of late. Their corners are still playing decently, nowhere near what they were doing at the beginning of the season. So they're still a good matchup. They're just not amazing like they were to start the year. My biggest problem with Derek Carr is some of those teams you mentioned can get pressure on the quarterback. If you're watching his play, and even last week, they didn't need him to throw touchdowns. If he gets pressure in his face, he still throws erratic passes. So I like him. I just don't love him.
Oddly enough about the Chargers, I mean, you've been able to throw on them, but they're second in picks and like second in fumble recoveries. They're just a turnover defense.
They've been a really good fantasy defense.
Yeah, they have been,
Would you trade Carr for Rivers? I would.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I would do that too.
I think you could sell Carr for a lot right now.
You get another piece. You probably get, because people are just not in on Rivers.
But even if you didn't get another piece, I'd still be willing to make that deal. Cam might be a good target, though. Carr for Cam, something like that.
Yeah.
Because I think people would make that, because people love the Raiders.
Oh, yeah, they love them. They're 7-2. They just have the most wins as the Pats.
Last quarterback is Andrew Luck. He gets Houston, Minnesota, and Oakland. Obviously, Oakland, good matchup. Those other two, not so much. Now, Luck can overcome that. But Luck still carries a lot of name value along with him, and he's having a really good year. Is he a potential trade chip? Because I think he is.
Yeah, I would trade him for sure. And that's a guy that you could get one of these quarterbacks for that we've just talked about.
Could you get
something else?
If the Gurley owner in your league did not have a quarterback, could you trade Andrew Luck for Todd Gurley, do you think?
I think you could.
I think you could, too.
Yeah.
That's a deal. Let's make some deals.
That's a hell of a deal. As bad as Gurley's been, I mean, you could definitely do that. And the owner would be like, sure, give me Andrew Luck, not even thinking twice.
Yeah, you could trade Andrew Luck for like Marvin Jones and Zach Miller. Golden Tate in another piece, something like that. Like all the guys we kind of mentioned as buy lows, it's always hard to give like a feasible like, oh, you should trade this guy for this guy. Yeah, because you might not have that
guy. It's all about context, of course.
So if you have Andrew Luck, those are like the guys that we talked up as potential trade targets. Those are the guys that I would try to get.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyone else to add at quarterback, Jake, buy or sell?
Not really. I think he kind of covered everybody. If you can survive, I think people might be dropping him because I don't want to trade for him because he's got a lot of road games coming up. But if you can survive Kirk Cousins and then he gets Carolina, and I think what was the last week? He's got Philly or somebody? The last two games are decent.
Washington goes Philly, Carolina, Chicago in the fantasy
playoffs. Carolina, Chicago to finish things out. I'm actually okay with him. If you're in a deeper league and Kirk Cousins in those two games should be able to have a nice day. That offense is always going to be pass heavy.
I know the ownerships in NFL.com are really weird, but Mariota's like under
0% owned. He's negative 10% owned.
Do you see how he finishes out the year? I don't want anything to do with that. So Denver, that's Kansas City, Jacksonville.
So that's maybe a guy that you could flip. I mean, hey, you can tell your owner, like, look at Mariota in the past 6 weeks. He's the number one quarterback, basically.
Yeah.
He's right there. He's getting all these fantasy points, oddly enough. And, yeah, I mean, you look at the schedule, this is a guy that you could maybe flip for, I mean, one of these other quarterbacks.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Or even trade him as a piece, him in another piece that you don't like, and upgrade a quarterback for a Rivers or something like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Lastly, before we get out of here, I mentioned you can go check out all of our ranks up on Roto Expert Sports Grid and FantasyPros.com for Meany. But I do want to talk about defenses, not trade value defenses. Jake and I will cover that in the Waiver Wire show next Monday for the playoffs. But rankings-wise, I have the Cards, Ravens, Redskins, Texans, Panthers, Giants, Vikings, Packers, Jets, Chargers. The one I really want to talk about was the Redskins. I think the Redskins are a great play this week. They have at least 3 sacks in each of their past 4 games. Sam Bradford's been sacked 13 times in his last 3 games. They're widely available. That is who I'm playing at defense this week.
Yeah, and they get after the quarterback, and that's what we've seen for the past couple weeks now, really almost all season long, is that Bradford gets pressured, and that's not good.
Jake? Any other defenses you like in there?
No, that was the one that I was going to key on, too, because it's a home game, too. Kirk Cousins should have some success even against this defense, which would kind of force the Vikings to be more aggressive. And if they're being more aggressive, now you got more potential for turnover. So I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, Norman's definitely going to pick off Bradford.
What do you think about the Giants Monday night against primetime Dalton?
I'm kind of scared of that only because I'm scared of the Giants in primetime.
Yeah, that's true. Bengals D against Eli in
Bengals
primetime.
Bengals D, Eli, yeah.
All right, that'll do it on the Pat Mayo Hour. Sorry we didn't get to the back end of the rankings, but, I mean, you can read the list. They're up there. I think people want to hear about trade value at this time of year and the strength of schedule. It's Jake, thanks for hopping on the Tuesday show, dude.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, you can follow Jake on Twitter at AllInKid and go check out his accurate rankings up on rotoexperts.com and at Fantasy Pros, also where you can find Chris Meany's rankings. Follow you on Twitter at Chris Meany, host of every show on Fantasy Sports Network.
That's not true.
Well, like a third of them. Between me, you, and Gary, and we host all the shows. Well,
that is true.
So, hey, if you turn on Fantasy Sports Network, boom, you're going to see me, Meany, or Gary.
And Jake.
And Jake's a guest on all the shows.
And Jake, we need you on Friday. Can you come on Friday instead of Thursday to do your rankings?
Yeah, sure, whatever. Okay.
Perfect. So you can catch Jake on Fantasy Sports Today live at noon on Friday and every single day on Fantasy Sports Radio. Download the FNTSY Radio app and get it for free, streaming all the time. A lot of good stuff on there, including the Pat Mayo Hour. You can also find it on iTunes, Stitcher, now on Audio Boom, and for the video versions, Roku, Apple TV, you know, all that jazz, YouTube as well. And of course, the channel. I'm Pat Mayo. I'll see you next time.